Arctic sea ice is melting, and not just because it's warmer outside, at an accelerating rate. A study that has been contributed to by the University of Alaska Fairbanks provides a better understanding why. This morning, UAF oceanography professor Harper Simmons will join KYUK's Greg Kim to talk about his research. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks, Grady. Good morning, Professor Simmons. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Good morning. Glad to be with you.
Professor Simmons, can you talk to us about the new discoveries your research found about why the Arctic sea ice is melting?
Yeah. Hello, my name is Harper Simmons, and I'm calling from in from Fairbanks. I work at the University of Alaska Fairbanks Tafiera campus, and I'm really happy to have a chance to talk to everybody out there. It's quite exciting for me. And in 2018, we were out on the University of Alaska Fairbanks research vessel, the Sikuliak, and we were making some measurements of warm water that flows up through Bering Strait across the Chukchi and out into the Beaufort. And when I tell people about this, I think the first thing I want to say is that the important thing is to understand the basic way this system operates, which is there's always warm Pacific water that flows north in the summer, late summer, and into the fall, and into the Beaufort. That's a part of the basic climate system. This water flows to the north. It goes across and out through a undersea feature called Barrow Canyon. And every year, as temperatures drop in the fall, this warm water is cooled at the surface, and it freezes over and it traps a layer of warm water underneath. And that's just a basic part of the system that happens year after year and has always happened as far as I know. But then what happens is you form over this ice as it cools at the surface, but there's this warm water trap from below. And throughout the winter and the seasons, it's slowly that warm water is limiting the ultimate amount of growth of sea ice that you can get. So that's the basic way the system works. But what we know is that over the last 20 years, the temperature of that water has been observed to be steadily increasing by about half a degree per decade. That's a lot more water coming north that's warmer than it has ever been before. When we were out in 2018, we were able to see this warm water in a variety of ways, an unprecedented level of heat. One was from satellite remote sensing. We were able to get some unusual clear sky conditions where we could see this ribbon or tongue of warm water flowing out past Point Barrow and out into the Beaufort. The other thing that's really, really important and kind of fascinating here is that because we were out with the ship, we could look below the surface where the satellite can't see. We could see that even though there was a lot of warm water at the surface, there was even more warm water below the surface, 100, 150 feet below the surface. There are these big, angry-looking blobs of warm water that were getting trapped over the forming sea ice in the fall. And that's the basic observations we made, was that this was just a stronger signal than we'd ever seen before. And from what I understand from people who have been out in the last few years, this trend has continued.
So it sounds like, just I want to try and distill that a little bit for our audience. It sounds like maybe someone who hadn't seen your research would just instinctually think that melting sea ice would be a cause of temperatures in the Arctic, whether that's temperatures in the Arctic water or in the environment in the air above. But it sounds like actually one of the big causes of melting sea ice is warm water from elsewhere than the Arctic, from the Pacific Ocean, flowing up into the Arctic. And that water, which has always flowed from the Pacific Ocean to the Arctic, that water is getting warmer. Is that a correct understanding?
Yeah, that's exactly right. The local temperature conditions, of course, have a lot of effect on the amount and health of the ice pack in the Arctic. But a major component of that is a kind of a global connection. There's a connection between warm waters in the Pacific and the health and the amount of sea ice in the Arctic. And that's something that is clearly changing and is a kind of a new observation here, was just how warm these waters can be or have been getting in recent years. And yeah, this connection has been there since as long as there's been, you know, open water through the Bering, but seems to be getting even stronger with time.
And the Pacific Ocean's fairly large. Where exactly is this warm water that's affecting the Arctic Ocean? Where is that coming from?
Well, the Pacific waters, oceanographers like to call these Pacific summer waters. They're really it's water that flows up along the coast. There's a sort of something we call the Alaska Coastal Current, and it flows along the coast all the way from, southeast Alaska, up around Yakutat, Kodiak, and then out the Aleutians, and then comes through passages in the Aleutians. But it's all along the way, it's accumulating heat and fresh water, actually, that runs off from all of the mountains and rivers along the coast of Alaska. And then finally comes in through a few passages in the Aleutians, and then comes in across the Bering, out past your neck of the woods, the mouth of the Kuskokwim, all that, and then up through Bering Strait and across the Chukchi and into the Beaufort.
Well, we know that the Bering Sea is warming at very fast rates, too. Could this same warm water from the Pacific Ocean be a cause of the warming Bering Sea as well?
Oh, yeah, definitely. This water, we like to give names to where water comes from, and we talk about Bering Shelf water, and we talk about Pacific Summer water. Some of those are convenient names but aren't perfect. Perfect descriptions, because of course different types of water mixes. So yeah, this water actually really is a combination of Bering Shelf water and Pacific Summer water. And you're right, some of that Bering water is a result of warmer waters coming from the south, and also again local warming as air temperatures are warming everywhere, including over the Bering.
I see. Well, I'm curious, what does it matter to us whether the Arctic sea ice is melting because of local temperatures in the Arctic or temperatures in the Pacific Ocean flowing up? Why does it matter if the what is the real cause?
Well, I mean, that's an excellent question. I mean, not clearly you care about the health of the sea ice, but yeah, you're asking why one might care whether or not the cause is local or remote. I feel like we're doing our best to understand how our Earth works as a system. And, you know, one thing that could always be true is, you know, one year, you know, temperatures are warmer and colder a year to next. Just because you have maybe an unusually cold winter next winter, that doesn't necessarily mean that suddenly the ice pack will go back to where it was 20 or 50 years ago, because, you know, nothing is happening by itself locally. There's all of these connections. And I think it's very important that we understand that so that we're not overly influenced by what's happening just at my, you know, just in your backyard. And so that we can make, you know, the best decisions in terms of policy, and also so that we can, hopefully, we're not very good at this, but so that we can make better forecasts about what might happen. And in order to make forecasts about the future, we can't disregard. We have to know how the system works as a whole, including, you know, distant effects that are happening in the North Pacific, effects that are happening in the Bering, effects that are happening, you know, in the Chukchi.
That was a really thoughtful answer. It sounds like if we disregarded your research, then we might think, like, if there were multiple very cold winters in the Arctic and the sea ice isn't getting back to where it was, we might be really confused if we didn't understand these forces from the Pacific Ocean. And it also shows how interconnected the whole world's environment really is. That's really cool. I want to talk about you mentioned being out on the Arctic Sea on a vessel. Could you kind of help us describe that vessel and what it's like to be out there?
Yeah, absolutely. So I've been to sea in the Arctic on a number of icebreakers, Canadian icebreakers. I've been on the U.S. Coast Guard operates some icebreakers, Russian icebreakers, and they're all, you know, different. The University of Alaska operates this vessel called the Sikuliak, and it is a dedicated science vessel. So it's very much, you know, it's a large floating laboratory. It is not the heaviest icebreaker in the world, but it can it's rated to break a meter of level sea ice. That's how they describe its rating. And it's a very, it's one of the most modern ships out there because it was just built a few years ago and it was very thoughtfully designed. And so you're out there with, the crew and, you know, maybe 20 scientists. And we have all kinds of sensors on board that can measure the ocean currents, the temperature, the salinity, and we have winches that allow us to lower instruments into the ocean and go make measurements all the way down to the seafloor, you know, potentially thousands of meters, a few miles below the sea surface, all the way to the deep sea floor. And it's
Professor Simmons,
kind of
I'm sorry to interrupt, but we're getting near the end of our show, and I really wanted to touch on the impacts of melting sea ice. For example, in what ways could the melting sea ice change the weather in Alaska?
Sure, I'll do my best on that. I'm not really a weather guy. I'm more of an ocean circulation person. But yeah, when you don't have ice, then you can extract much more heat out of the ocean. You get all kinds of, you get these ocean leads, and you can see this, sea smoke as a result of cold air moving over warm ocean. So whenever you have an absence of sea ice in deep winter, you're pulling out all kinds of heat out of the ocean, and that can affect the atmospheric circulation all over the state. And then certainly, in the coastal communities, the presence or lack of sea ice has all kinds of effects on the local wind patterns and cloud cover. And the other thing that's really, really important is whenever you have open water, the wind can create waves and chop and swell. And that has a big effect on your ability to function and be able to be out in the ocean, but also on things like coastal erosion. If you have unusual amounts of open water, you can get more wave action that will erode the coast. So that I think is probably one of the most dramatic impacts of reduced sea ice cover.
Wow. Well, I wish we had more time to talk to you, Professor Simmons, but that's going to be our time for the show. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Yeah, thank you. It was a pleasure. Thank you so much.
You've been listening to Professor Harper Simmons from the University of Alaska Fairbanks. Simmons was one of the lead researchers on a new study about melting Arctic sea ice. I'm your host, Greg Kim. Thanks for listening to Coffee at KYUK.